I would like to speak on the subject, I've got confidence. I've got confidence. And I can just hear one of my teachers from my elementary days, Sister McPherson, saying, "Boy, you know that's not proper grammar." Well, Sister Mac, I know I should say I have confidence, but I'm just borrowing a title from a song by the late Andre Crouch. And he said, "When trouble is in my way, I can't tell my night from day. When I'm tossed from side to side like a ship out on a raging tide, I don't worry, I don't fret. My God has never failed me yet. Trouble comes from time to time, but that's all right. I'm not the worrying kind because I've got confidence. God is going to see me through no matter what the case may be. I know he's going to fix it for me." Then Andre says, "Job was sick so long till the flesh fell from his bones. His wife, cattle and children, everything he had was gone. But Job, in his despair, hallelujah, he knew that God still cared. Sleepless days and sleepless nights. But Job said, that's all right because I've got confidence. God's going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me." I trust today that as we come to speak in this word, that we will have a sense of confidence that God is trying to tell us something. Before we speak this word today, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father, deliver your message today, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The word today comes to us from the book of Psalms of the 27th division. As a preacher, I know we like to be authentic and we like to speak with authority when we can be very definitive. As I was researching for this message today, trying to find out when the psalm was written, it was elusive at best. I could not pin down a time when David, or the occasion, was in a cave. Did he write this psalm after his debacle with Bathsheba? What was the time? Was it after he had slain a giant? What we do know, that this psalm comes to us from his experience. Things throughout his life. And so today, as we look to this word, there are three things from this psalm to which I like to draw our attention. Three things. I do recognize that when you say a lot and you give too many things, people may not remember them. And so I don't want you to forget anything, so I'm going to limit what I'm going to say to three things. The first of which is what I've entitled David's Cry. David's Cry. Psalm 27. And we begin in verse 7, not in verse 1, because for the purpose of the message, the sequence does not call for us to begin with verse 1. And David begins, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends, I would like to emphasize that which I placed in bold, cry and my voice. It is okay for people to cry for us. It is okay for people to lift us up in prayer. But people are limited into what they know of us. And so because we know where we are and who we are, there is a crying that we must do for ourselves. David is saying, he's crying with his voice. Not that he does not appreciate when someone calls his name to God. I get calls from people telling me they're praying for me, and I appreciate it. I think it's good to know there are others who pray and lift you up. But there comes a time when it is absolutely necessary that we learn how to cry with our own voice. Because we know the experience, and we can talk to God in ways that no one else can but us. So David says he's crying to God. And the question is for us today, are we crying to God? And if we are, what is our cry about? David says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Thou hast been my help. When you are in a situation, it helps when you recognize that God was there for you in previous situations. We are fearful only if we choose to forget the way God has been for us in other times. God has been my help. In other words, David is making the point that he has had times with God when he was in dire straits and God came through for him. What do you remember about God and you today? And David says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There are some fatherless and motherless children. There are some very lonely people in this world. This morning, I would like to remind us all, even when we feel forsaken, God is there for us. So the question is, David was in a dark place. What kind of a place do you find yourself if you are going to cry to God? It's a dark place when you feel lost and others are eager to remind you of that fact. It's a dark place when you feel disconnected. It's a dark place when no one wants to be around you. It's a dark place when you feel far from God. It's a dark place when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. It's a dark place when you seem to be suffering all by yourself. David is crying because he is in a dark place. It's a dark place when the doctor tells you to call your family. Oh, we've been bombarded all week. And let me just say a word here about obeying the order. I spoke to a young lady yesterday whose mother went to church last Sunday. Went to church. Yes, you heard me. In Michigan, we do have a shelter in place. We're not supposed to congregate, but she went to church. She got sick on Monday morning, rushed to the hospital on Monday night because she was having difficulty breathing. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, she took her last breath. The sadness about her dying is that because of COVID-19, she died with no one at her bedside. The doctor could not even say, call your family. It's a dark place when one is in the hospital and being told, call your family. It's a dark place when you have to say your final goodbye to your loved ones. It's a dark place. 2 days ago, got a call from a friend. His first of three sons, he had just gotten word, was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. I can't imagine their dark place. I recall we were at school, university together. I remember when that boy was born. He died the day before his 35th birthday. It's a dark place for Michael and Cheryl, even as they mourn, trying to know what they're going to do in this hour. It's a dark place for them. It's a dark place for many families who've had to put people to rest. Before COVID-19 is finished with us, many of us will know of people that have closed their eyes, never to open them again. It's a dark place when you feel you have been forsaken. Oh, I think I remember that the day Jesus was being crucified, the Bible says that darkness came upon the earth, and it became so dark, and he felt so forsaken that the Savior of the world cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sometimes the place can be so dark that we feel we have been forsaken. David was in a dark place. But I like the words of Christine Kane when she says, sometimes when you are in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but you've actually been planted. Oh, I just love that thought by Miss Kane. Because sometimes you may think that you're being buried. But I like to remind us today, saints of God, that a burial for the child of God is an opportunity for the resurrection by Jesus Christ. So God can resurrect that which was buried. No matter how dark the place, God can be there for you. So David cried because he was in a dark place. My second of 3 points is not only David's cry, but David's confidence. I've got confidence. It's one thing to cry. It's another thing to have confidence. And this is what David says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, listen to me, saints. Listen to me, saints. These are not my words. This is God speaking words of comfort. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. We know but rocks, they're unmovable. It's not sand. God is not going to put you where your feet are going to begin to sink. God is not going to allow you to go under. He says he's going to put you upon a rock. And the rock is Christ Jesus. So David's confidence is upon the rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies. Round about me, therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David's confidence was not in a building hanging precariously on a ledge. That was not his confidence. As a matter of fact, it may not be wise to enter that church where it is. And I've heard so many say, correctly so, in this time of the virus, of this pandemic, that the church is not a building, the church is you. Let me emphasize that. The church is you, you the individual, not you the group. Church is you. So when you are ready to let God use you, say, God, how can I help in this time? Don't spend time asking what the church is doing. Ask what you're doing, because the church is you. Church is not a building hanging precariously on a ledge. What was David saying? David said his confidence is in the Lord. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You may recall, this David, as a shepherd, was out with his sheep. And on several occasions, too, we know of, where he had to kill a bear and another time a lion. This is the same David that fought Goliath. But David is trying to say to us today that God is his strength. It wasn't his expertise in handling a sling that killed Goliath. David knew that his strength came from God. And so he says, in spite of my victories, in spite that some will say Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands, I know that the Lord is my light and my salvation. And because of that, I don't need to fear. I don't need to be afraid. And then David joins Jeremiah, who said, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who's what everybody? Confidence is in him. David also joined the wise man, his son, Solomon. Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I've got confidence. That's what David is saying. Then Paul in Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then Paul in Acts 17:28 says, and this is important, because sometimes when we become good at something, we may stop to think and to have confidence in ourselves. When we become better at something, we start to think we're all of that. But we must remember what Paul says. And David, when he says, the Lord is his light and his salvation, he is agreeing with Paul. For in him we live and move and have our being. It is always with Christ. So here is David's cry. And then there is David's confidence. I've got confidence. What about you today? And now, to the third of 3 points. This is David's calm. He is calm about the situation. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. David's calm. First, he's crying. Then he's confident, and now he has a resolve. I'm good. I'm good. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Just take a pause for a second and understand what David is saying. David is making a point. Some incorrectly believe that David is saying he will never die. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that while he is alive, he is going to experience God's goodness in spite of the things that may be happening around him. You and I today can say what David said. We would have fainted unless we had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And for the child of God, Jesus reminds us, he that hath the Son hath life. In other words, even when death's cold icy fingers come upon us and we surrender this life, we can be confident of a resurrection where we will spend eternity with God. And so David counsels us in his calm. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Two things I want us to note in this verse. The first is wait. It's hard to wait when you're anxious. I want to draw this picture before you today. Think of two people in a bus stop waiting on the bus. And one person is sitting reading a book, and the other person is every 2 seconds leaving the bus stop and looking up the road to see when the bus is coming. He's pacing. He's up and down. He's anxious. He's looking for the bus. And the other person seated, that person seated reading the book has confidence that the bus will come. The person pacing is not so sure, but somehow thinks by his worry, his pacing, he can bring the bus any faster. My God has a date when he will come. We need not be anxious. Let us wait on the Lord. And while we're waiting, let us be of good courage. Good is not here used in the context of the opposite of bad. It's being redundant. Just have courage and more courage. Sit quietly and wait. Be calm. Appreciate that he that will come and will not tarry. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so today, my friends, I want us to make a shift now before we get to the place where I'll hear a familiar song is going to play for us. I just love this song. It pays to serve Jesus. I want us to make a change. Remove David and put the word my. It's not David's cry. It's my cry. What are you crying to God about? What dark place do you find yourself today? Make it personal, my cry. Make it personal, my confidence. Not someone else's. Be confident because of who he is. And then, my calm. And I can go to what the Apostle Paul said. And this is very important in this message today. It's my cry. It's my confidence. And my calm. Make it yours. And here is what Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I know you're at home. You may be in your pajamas, you may be in bed, you may be in the couch, you may be dressed like one of my sisters, Roxanne. Roxanne told me, she sent the picture, she's dressed for church today. She's in the house, but she's dressed. If you know my sister, that's Roxanne. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Paul is saying he's come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I've got confidence. I've got confidence. And my confidence is like David's. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know that whatever it is, Jesus is still the answer of all the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. We'll be back next Sabbath. Right here, we ask that you invite others to join our worship. Pray for the various churches, the ministries. Pray for everyone. And we certainly want to think, as our governor said here in Michigan, Far too often we're thinking of numbers, but each number reflects and represents a person. New York, Louisiana, California, wherever that may be, there are people dying that belong to us. It's a brother. It's a sister. It's a mother. It's a father. It's a niece. It's a nephew. It's an uncle. It's an aunt. It's a grandmother. It's a grandfather. It's a cousin. It's a friend. It's your neighbor. Today, whatever it is, even in the throes of death, I want you to have confidence. You can cry, but you can have confidence. And you can be calm amidst the hustle and bustle because of Jesus. Father in heaven, we just ask today that you will stay close to all your children. But there are those who need a special warmth from you. Remember Michael and Cheryl. Remember all the others who have lost their loved ones. Not just of this disease, but who fell asleep. Remind them, Father, that a burial can be a resurrection for the child of God. Keep us safe this week. And let us do our part to help our brothers and sisters. And thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we will get some announcements that would be on your screen. Happy Sabbath. See you next week.